society. Born to raise hell, rock, kill, and drain.
All right. That voice right there is Dimebag Darrell.
Old man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
Wow, it matches up perfectly actually during the chorus.
It is interesting when you come across songs. We need to do an episode of this. We keep talking about it's like songs that sound way too similar to each other.
Yeah,
but I can never remember the ones we talk about. That's good radio. Hi everybody, welcome to the Who Cares podcast. This is Jackson Burns, and that's Mark Mullaney.
Yes. And who am I?
I don't know.
God damn it.
That joke's not even funny anymore.
It's not funny
anymore.
So, rest in peace, Dimebag Darrell. It was 10 years ago yesterday that some fucking crazy asshole decided to shoot Dimebag in the face.
Yeah, maybe we should do an episode about talking about Adept, because it's a very interesting, like, if you're into particularly, like, psychological problems and serial killers, such that I am, it's very interesting. This kid had a lot of fucking issues. Like, you know, he thought that, like, the band was capable of reading his mind, and they were stealing his thoughts.
Yeah, he thought that Pantera wrote their songs about him.
Yeah, but, like, no, but, like, stealing his ideas, like, not even, like, just stuff about him, but, like, explicitly stealing his ideas and reading his mind is very fucked up. It's very,
I'd like to agree with that. The fact that we should do a show on that, but I don't want to give him the credit, to be honest. Like,
well,
I know he's
about
dead, and like it doesn't really matter anymore, but like it's like I don't know, man. I think that would be like, I don't know, it's the first time I've ever felt anything weird about like a death. I don't get weird about death. Like, when old people die, I'm like, why the fuck do you care? Like, they're old, you knew it was gonna happen, it's a part of life, and move on. Like, I mean, I'm a little callous, but
yeah, I mean, you know, it's horrible. It's like I find it similar to Mark David Chapman who killed John Lennon, where it's like, you know, part of it is horrible, and it's like, yeah, the guy's fucking terrible, and it's a good thing he's fucking dead. But on the other hand, too, it's like, this was a very mentally disturbed man, and I don't know all the details about it, but it could very well be a situation where he just was not getting the help that he desperately needed.
Well,
he just wasn't getting.
You shouldn't have to rely on the people to find the warning signs.
If
you know?
You're not mentally capable of doing that, then you kind of do. I mean, that's the thing. And these are not warning signs that only pop up when you're supposed to be a fully functional adult. Like, this is stuff that's around when you're a kid, and it's just a lot of situations is your parents are just too, like, self-absorbed or ignorant to pay attention to the fact that you need extra help. It's kind of the same thing. Like, part of me feels bad for Donald Trump, because the way he was raised and the environment he grew up in, there was no chance for him to be anything but what he turned out to be. But then the part of me that doesn't really give a shit for him is the fact that he keeps getting himself in everybody's way. Anyway.
I can't believe you. How the fuck did you turn Dimebag's death into a Donald Trump situation?
Flip it all. It's all mental illness is what it is.
Yes, yes.
It's all very closely, and our president has extreme mental illness. Speaking of illnesses, mental or otherwise, we're going to lead off with a little bit about Jackson's interest in prepubescent deformed women.
Ugh, why do you have to, you don't have to frame it like that. It's not an interest.
I have to frame it like that, because this is, you told me this, and me and my wife this, like, minutes before we came in to record the podcast, and it was incredibly weird, and I can't even figure out which part of this story is the weirdest thing to me.
So, if you're either a morning worker or a third shifter, then you probably watch daytime television a lot, like I do. And so when you watch daytime television, these fucking commercials come across that are, I mean, there's the ones about the lawsuits for the, if you got genital gangrene, and then you call this lawyer company.
Wait, the genital gangrene?
There's a thing, yeah. There's a medicine that one of the side effects, unfortunately, is a thing called genital gangrene.
What is it supposed to be helping you cure?
I forget
what
it's
what
for.
What could possibly be worth the risk of getting gangrene
but Kevin
in
Carlson
your dick?
Made the mistake of Googling what genital gangrene is. And
yeah, why would you? No.
Do not do that.
Well, because what gangrene is where your body just starts to rot away.
Yeah.
And now just put that on your genitalia. I don't want to see that.
Anyway, so there's a bunch of fucking weird-ass commercials, and one of them is the Shriners Hospital for Children begging for money. I mean, okay, not begging. You know what I mean. They want money to help the kids.
Asking for money.
Asking
to
for
help
money.
Save
is that
the children.
Yeah.
Save the children, Jackson.
With the cancer. So they, you know, they troll out all the deformed kids that are that can read a script.
Like in the trash, or
they gather up all the kids who look
that still
like,
have working jaws.
No,
that
the
can
ones
speak.
That aren't horribly deformed enough where they're not cute anymore.
God. The ones that are monsters are kept in the back.
I can only imagine the ones that are not on the commercial.
Can I be on your commercial today?
So they go around and they look for the kids that they think that look cute. And
you're
cute.
TV ready, kid. Just look this way. Don't show the other side of your face.
In the wheelchairs, and they do a commercial and asking for $19 a month or something like that. And one of the girls is a girl who. She doesn't have an arm. Her whole left arm is gone, except for she has a hand there, though. And so it's like a little hand coming out of a stump. It's like,
terrible.
It's a flipper, a little tiny flipper that she's got. And so I've been seeing that commercial a lot lately.
Everybody who's currently listening to the show, we're all going to go to hell.
And I've been having weird dreams lately, and I dreamt about her. I dreamt that I went on a speed date, and that she was one of my speed date contestants.
Now, it wasn't any of the other deformed children, right? It was just her.
This is the conversation I had with her.
All right, so, as I said, I don't know which is worse. The fact that you're, like, having dreams about these children, or that you're dreaming about dating children. Like,
well, she's not a child. I think she's maybe 18, hopefully.
I think that, but I don't think
so. Well, anyway, in my dream, she was older. Oh, by the way, I have a shot here poured for Dimebag, and I have to take it before the moment passes. So, rest in peace, Dimebag. Time out.
We're already well down the path of talking about having dreams about dating deformed children, and that still has not, the moment has not passed.
Yeah, no. Rest in peace, Dimebag.
Well, a good segue from celebrating someone's death, we can move on to how I do not like to celebrate the beginning of my life, and how you want to shit on me for that.
I want to shit on you for a number of reasons. And so what happened was Mark's birthday was Thursday. And I called him to say happy birthday. Well, first, I texted his wife, and she finally answered and said, yeah, it's today, but he deactivated his Facebook. Like the little bitch that he is. And then, so you didn't answer my phone call, so I figured that, you know, it was you being like, oh, well, I'm not going to answer your phone call. You say happy birthday. I don't want to talk to you.
No, I was half awake when you called me.
And that's
me.
Usually the case. I mean, that's been the case for the last fucking 15 years. Like that, you know, that's par for the course. But this time there was an actual reason that you didn't like being all chummy on your birthday.
I don't like observing my birthday. It makes me uncomfortable being the center of attention. Big surprise.
Big surprise. The guy that's an animator and literally needs to be the center of attention for any.
I'm always talking and making
any
noise.
Any professional movement.
Even on this show, I'm always making noise and talking over people. But
any professional movement whatsoever, you need to be the center of attention.
Movement. I don't like to be. I'm actually a terrible person to give gifts to because I never know. How to like, because even if it's something that I like I don't know how to make my face look like I'm actually appreciative to receive the gift, and I always feel like I just look like a schmuck.
I get gifts, I hate getting gifts.
I just don't like it. It just makes me feel
icky.
I
like getting gifts, but I hate reacting to gifts.
And then the social media basically like announces it to everybody, so then you get like, you know, Facebook comments from people who like you haven't even spoken to in years, maybe even people who you don't even know. Saying like happy birthday, and then it's like, oh, now I have to take time out of my life. I just sound so pissy, but go through a thing and like, you know, click like and thank you. And how do I make this sound not disingenuous? I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just don't like it. So I just deactivate my Facebook, and it's tradition now, so it's okay. But my argument, my
it's
defense
really
for that
a prima donna first world, yes. Really like
it is
huge,
first world
problem. Huge bitch.
It
problem.
Is first world problem.
That's like, that's a massive bitch. That's
my defense for it is that life does not give a shit if it's your birthday or whatever. And the thing that bothers me is it's
people
like,
do.
But the thing is, it's like when you have a bad, like you can have a bad day on your birthday, and the fact that it's on your birthday just makes that bad day seem so much sadder. Kind of thing, you know? So like this past Thursday, it was my birthday, and aside from being a generally it was basically one of those days where everything's kind of frustrating, like trains are running late and all that kind of like inconvenient shit. But then
I was brought into the world this day 33 years ago. What a sad day. I'm Morrissey.
You gotta do it.
You gotta draw it like Groupie Dog.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But no, so I'll do the rest of the story like that. So
that's why you're the impressionist.
That's the day that I found out that somebody stole my credit card information.
Oh, every credit card store. Oh, my God. Those kids on that commercial should talk like that. I would give money if they talk like that.
Please donate so I don't have to be sad anymore.
I have a flipper, and I can't play basketball.
All you happy people.
Anyway, so I went to check my bank balance that afternoon on my birthday, and because I usually check it like every morning, but I forgot, which is weirdly lucky because I wouldn't have caught this had I not. Somebody had used, this is so frustrating, somebody got my credit card information, not my card, but they got my information somehow. They must have, like, I must have used an ATM, like one of those card reader thingies or whatever, but they used my card information to buy like $19 and some change worth of breakfast at a cafe in Cambridge, Massachusetts that morning, which is like, it's $19. I almost wish it was a couple hundred dollars so it was worth the aggravation that I now have to go through. Because the other thing that is makes me a shitty person is that my ID expired in August and I haven't renewed it yet.
That doesn't make you that makes you lazy, not shitty.
Well, exactly. You know, they go hand in hand. So now I have no bank card and I have no identification, so I can't take money out of my bank account. My bank security is so good, everybody can access my money but me.
That's the irony.
Yeah.
The irony.
So the day of my birthday, I don't carry cash on me ever, so I don't have any cash on me, and I work in downtown Boston, so I have to cancel my credit card, and now I have no cash. And with no cash, I have no way to get home because I don't have like a renewable bus pass. So I have to leave work early, walk from one end of the city to the other to go to the only branch of my bank that's near downtown and beg them to let me take money out so I can go home. So by the time I got home, I just passed out for a while. That's when you called me. And when I woke up, I was just not in the mood to really talk to anybody. I just wanted to eat and go back to sleep. So, but it's just one of those things. So then the capper on that is just to say, oh, well, I do the voice again. It's like the capper on that is like,
and it was my birthday.
So it just makes it so much fucking sadder. It's like, yeah,
somebody stole my credit card and then I had to walk so far to beg for money from my own account and it was my birthday.
So you see how fucking sad that is? So I'd rather just not, I'm not a big celebration guy. I'd rather just ignore it. And the other thing I had to do is I had to do every husband's worst nightmare to get the rest of the money out of my checking account. I had to write a check to my wife.
Oy vey. How'd that go?
Well, it's now all my money is in her account. But anyway, so moving on from that little sad sack story, though, the only other interesting thing that's happened to me in the last 2 weeks is not this past week, my birthday week, but the week before, somebody at the train station near here, near my house, got stabbed. And as I told my wife, and I helped.
Wait, this was on the news?
No, it wasn't.
No?
No, oh. Unfortunately, I kept checking because I was like, ooh, maybe it'll be on the news, but it wasn't on
Wait,
the news.
Wait, so what happened?
So
I haven't heard the story
no,
yet.
No, I haven't even told you this story. So it's my hero story, but it's very dull, so it's kind of funny. So I'm on the commuter rail coming into the Hyde Park train station, and I'm getting off the train, and the conductor is right there with me, and she's this short but rather fiery African-American woman. Well, she's got like an attitude, you know? She's nice, but she has like, you know, she's like a don't fuck with me type attitude. And we get off the train, and as she's letting on, there's one other customer, there's one person on the platform waiting and on the train. And when we see him, it's this stout, like Russian man, and his face is all covered in blood. And he's like, somebody tried to rob me and they stabbed me.
Oh my God.
So, this, you know, the woman, apparently this guy's a regular because she clearly knew him. And so she was like talking to him about it, and people are pouring off the train. So I'm kind of like, all right, there's like nothing I can do. So I'm just going to go get out of the way. So I kind of circle around the platform to go around the chaos and stuff. So I don't know exactly what ended up happening, but the guy clearly had not gotten too far. And somehow by the time I was coming down off the platform back to where everybody was, they had the guy, the conductor had apprehended him, and he was on the ground and she was screaming at him to stay down. She's like, stay down. Don't you be stabbing my customers. You stay down. You're going to jail tonight.
The stabber,
the suspect. God. So they somehow caught him. And I'm assuming it was because as he was trying to run, he must have gotten like just a wall of people coming off the train and he couldn't get away. And so he just kind of like got shuffled back, I guess. So But
train sounds.
Yes. As I'm coming down to where they are, everybody's pretty much dispersed. And as the crowd is thinning, I can see this guy on the ground, and he's starting to get squirrelier, and he starts getting up, even though she's screaming at him to stay down. And it's clear that he's going to make a run for it because he sees he has an opening. So without saying a word, I didn't have to. So without saying a word, I just walked around him to the only way he could go to run to get away. And I just stood there and stared at him, and he just promptly sat back on the ground and just looked up at me. And it again, this is very anticlimactic, but I just stood there silently for like 20 minutes while this guy's sitting on the ground, and he's kind of like eyes darting around trying to look for a way to get away, particularly as you start hearing the sirens come up. They had at least two people called the 911 on him, so we had a lot of police, like a lot of sirens were going around. But then the funniest part about it was while I was staring down this dude, my wife was texting me, telling me she needed me to pick up chapstick for her. And I just texted her back, K, because like obviously I'm like staring down this guy who just attacked somebody, so I don't want to be dicking around on my phone and give him a chance to like run. Though I honestly think he must have thrown the knife, otherwise he would have been swinging it at people as he was trying to get away. But then later on, I get the text from my wife as I'm about to get home. She's like, "Where are you? And why didn't it occur to you to tell me that you missed the 6:30 train?" And I called her back and I'm like, "I didn't miss the train. I'm almost home now. Somebody was stabbed and I helped." And she's like, "What the fuck?" And they say that a hero can save us. I'm not going to stand here and wait. All right, can we stop? I don't need Nickelback on this show.
I want Nickelback serious.
I mean, honestly, I'll tell you, like, I don't think Nickelback is good, but I don't particularly think they're any shittier than, like, a band like Creed.
They're not shittier than a lot of bands. It's a running joke just to say Nickelback. Okay.
I didn't know if there was
really
anything specific that I just hadn't picked up on.
Well,
or
they're Canadian
just a thing. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that just goes without saying. Actually, you know, there's a, I heard on a podcast that they may have played at the bar that was owned by a famous Canadian serial killer.
Dude, before we were Truman Highway, we were Paranoid. And
you
were
quarterback?
We played at a Nazi bar.
A Nazi, like, where?
Down in, it was in Wareham, which is right on the edge of the Cape, and it was an old Hell's Angels bar, I believe, and it was right after House of a Thousand Corpses came out. And we go in, and it's so dark, the whole place is dark, and it's like a weird dark place, and middle of winter, and it's me and Eric and Alex, and then just a bunch of locals, and they did not take too kindly to Alex.
I was
going to
say, how did that work out with Alex?
But
did you bring everybody together with the power of your rock? Like it was one of those in a movie? Like by the end of it, like they were like, "Yeah, we love the Mexicans now."
Yes. And it was, they loved us. But the bartender was the owner of the butter. She was this, she reminded me of the old lady from Misery.
Okay, yeah.
And she offered us shepherd's pie. "Yeah, I want some shepherd's pie, homemade." And we ate it. We were convinced we were going to be poisoned. We were convinced that we were going to die. We go to the bathroom and there's fucking Nazi symbols all over the place.
Alex just like, I need to go home.
It was the scariest I've ever seen him.
Now.
I've been in a bar with Alex in Southie where he got his ass kicked by a bunch of white supremacists. Ugh. I had left after that point.
I don't see where you would have been much use against
that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
So.
But I guess I wasn't there, so I can't say how scared he was, but I bet he wasn't. But
the most you could have done is like, "Run, Alex. I will exhaust them by allowing them to beat the shit out of me first."
Yes, but anyway, had I been there, even if I saw that, the time in Plymouth was the most scared I would ever see him.
Well, because it's like, you got like one group of white supremacists, but now you're in an establishment that is based on the idea of
hating people. But yeah, there was like three people
white
in there, and it was called The Raven.
The Raven?
Yes. It was,
it's a weird
it's not
name
there anymore.
For
yeah.
a Nazi bar.
Yeah, it was weird, and they're not there anymore, and we won them. We won all four of them over.
All four of the people there?
It was like four people, literally.
And afterwards, like, "You know what? I think I'm going to be more open to other kinds of cultures and people."
But it was like, they were those kind of people that, like House of Thousand Corpses, where, like, they're overly and creepily nice. Like, and they have these weathered faces that look like they've been through some shit that they are not talking about.
"I seen some shit.
Yeah.
You don't want to know about the shit I seen. I seen myself naked."
How do we get
in
this?
The mirror?
I don't know. It was a long and twisted road. Anyway, what do we have next to discuss?
These songs that I've been making.
Ah, yes.
You know, my mom's into Queen, really into Queen?
Now, this is the funniest thing, and I think we've talked about... Yeah, we did talk about this before fairly recently, but your mom's only, like, recently into Queen.
Recently,
like,
yeah.
As her fandom of Queen is only as old as YouTube, because that's where she discovered
Yeah, when them. She discovered YouTube, she discovered Queen and discovered that there was a lot more music out there than fucking the Moody Blues.
Yeah, what was she listening to before she discovered Queen?
She never really had any, like, big favorites. Oh, no? Man, that was my last beer.
Oh. It's a sad day.
That's, I hate when that little...
But yeah, so your mother, I mean, you know, you show your music to your mom or play it for her. Well, I hate talking like you.
You know, I was in a band for a long time. We practiced in my house. So my mom's very familiar with my music. So it's nothing new to her that I make music. Mm-hmm. But I figured that, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in a band and made something that I thought she might enjoy.
Mommy, let me show you what I did. Can I put it on the refrigerator?
And I've been writing these songs, and I thought that she might, you know, with her newfound fan of Queen, mm-hmm. It's a little fast, and like, I guess I can play the song, and then we can all be on the same page there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot heavier than Queen, and Queen is, and like, heavier a lot than more Queen, operatic, and
there's
like,
still some melody like, to it that, and yeah. Some, you know, some rhythm to it that she might enjoy. But so I give her my headphones, I give her my phone, and I start playing it for her. And like, you know that face that you get from people when you're saying something that you know they don't enjoy?
Yeah.
But they don't want you to know they don't enjoy it? It was like that face. This is what I feel. I mean, it's a little aggressive for a 68-year-old woman.
Not,
but
it's not very Queen-like. I can understand like there's portions of it that could be similar to Queen in like a harmonic sense, but I mean,
I would be like, holy shit, my son produced all this shit in the room under me without me knowing it. Like,
but again, at the same time, we talked about this. It's like, you know, particularly that generation, they can't really relate to things that they don't understand. Like, I was just telling you before we started the show when you were first talking to me about this, is that, like, my mother, for example, she doesn't care. She's not impressed by the fact that I've had a couple of comic books published. She's not impressed by the fact that I have 3 Emmy nominations. But what she is really impressed of is that I was involved with, like, making, like, a handful of really shitty iPhone puzzles for kids, like, 10 years ago. That are no longer supported and have not been updated and so no longer work on any new operating systems.
Yeah.
That's the only thing she ever seems to really understand. It's weird because it's like a lot of like my mother and my aunts and stuff, like they really, ever since the smartphones came out, they really got into like iPhone games. So phone games are a big deal for them and they're very impressed by that, but they're not impressed by like, oh, you've actually had work in television? Like, oh, we don't care about that.
How could you not be impressed by this?
See, like, I could be impressed by this because I listen to this kind of stuff, but your mother just doesn't, so she has no way of relating to it. It's like, and you've talked to me about this, I don't know if we talked about it on the show, right, but like, you know, she obviously likes the radio. She has radio shows that she loves. She actually loves a guy that you work with, but well, she doesn't know about what you do.
You know, your mom is a fan of your app games that you made 10 years ago.
Yes.
And my mom, knows that I work in the same building as her favorite radio show, that her favorite overnight radio show. So she really just uses me to get gossip from that show. Like, she's like, what's Bradley J really like? Like,
but at the same time, like, she can't understand or relate to you talking about what you did on the radio.
Not
that
a
day.
Clue.
Just doesn't care. Like, nope. It's not even so much just not caring. She just doesn't, she has no perspective on it that
well,
she can
relate
to.
Well, and one of the problems that I've run into, and I didn't know that, really, that this is going to be as big of a problem as it is that, you know, the guys on the show treat me like shit sometimes.
Well,
seemingly
does.
Seemingly.
I mean, they do. It's not seemingly.
No, it is seemingly, though, because in every circle, you know, you have your ball busters. And, like, I mean, when I was in a band, we treated each other like absolute shit. Like, not on, you know, not in, on the surface is what it is. It's like, you know, to be funny and to, you know, cut the mood to, you know, and just whatever. There's no need to be serious,
you're
ever.
Saying that you and the rest of your bandmates loved each other deep down?
Oh, for sure.
When was the last time you spoke to any of them?
I've spoken to every single one of them in the last 1 or 2 days or so. Which is funny. And we'll get into that in a second, I guess. That's a good, I should have written that down on the notebook there. But it's just, you know, I lost my train of thought. Was I talking about?
Well, you're saying that, like, there's ball busters, and even though you're just, you know,
so,
you're doing it for comedy, you don't really mean it.
Absolutely. And they, you know, they, whatever.
Mike really means it.
Well, yeah, Mike's a fucking douchebag. He can go suck a dick. But the rest of, you know, Kevin and Pete and Heather, they bust balls. And literally the only goal at the end of their sentence is to be funny. Like, that's the point on the radio, is to be funny. And if it's funny, then you win. If it's not, then you lose.
What do you win exactly?
You win another fucking show. Like, you're as good. They say in radio, you're only as good as your last show. And or you're only as good as your last break. And
so we pretty much suck as people.
Yeah. So, but anything that's said on the radio that might be considered mean, in my opinion, is all fair play, because it's all in the under the guise of trying to be funny, like literally. So I'm never ever gonna take offense to anything said to me on the radio.
Yes. Now, why are you talking about that?
Because my mom and my dad and my every girlfriend I've had since I've been on the radio are all offended beyond belief on my behalf, and it's hard to explain to them without sounding like a pushover.
Yeah, it's like that's normal. The bit you play on the show. Yeah. Know? It's just that's
so
sort
nobody
of your
gets it.
Character, quote unquote. It's just, it's hard. Well, I think they, because it's so close to what your character is in real life.
Well, hey, you know,
it's sort of, you don't really shed that persona when you walk out of the studio.
You are what you
studio.
Eat. That's right.
No,
I said it.
I'm
sticking to it.
But yeah, and in that same regard too, as you know, you said that our friend Andrew, you found out recently he's only ever listened to one episode of this podcast.
That was for you, Janine.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
That's my little that was my Valentine to your sister.
Stop flirting with my sister. I hate you.
I'm flirting via burp with your sister. And no, if I were to flirt with your sister, that you should hope that it would be via burp, because she hates burps. So. I'm not doing
that's
myself
the sound
any
of
favors.
Me hitting my head against the microphone. Anyway, so Andrew, you said listen to one episode of our podcast.
Yeah,
and just
I went to Andrew and Janice's house. Andrew and Janice are a
his
couple.
Wife.
That's his wife.
They are married.
They just bought a house in Hyde Park down the street, and mm-hmm. so I do the poppin' now.
He's a fan of the poppin'. She's not a fan of the poppin'. I'm not a fan of the poppin'.
I'm
not a fan
of
the poppin'.
I mean,
but yeah,
you know about the popping. Yes. I pop in on you all the time.
but that's just one of those things. It's hard to get people, particularly in your social life, to like personal life, to understand the things that you do sometimes.
Yeah,
it's like,
which Andrew does though, because Andrew listens to the radio.
He doesn't give a shit about our podcast.
Not at all. Janice, and she said this. God bless her soul. She said this.
God bless her soul.
She said this in 100% earnest. She said this to try to be a good friend. She goes, oh, Andrew and I listened to your first podcast. I'm like, wait, just the first one?
And like, when did that happen?
I go, you guys know there's been 30 fucking five since then, right? Whatever it is. And
yeah, we haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, and she goes, well, yeah, no window, but we did it together. Yeah, but still. I don't know what it was that they listened to, but they thought it was funny.
She's not funny enough. No. That's fine. My wife can barely make it through an episode of this. She's like, I listened to the first 5 seconds of your show.
Well, she lives it, so she gets a pass.
Yeah, she
but
does.
Our friends don't get a pass.
You know what's funny, actually, and kind of going off into something we didn't talk, didn't plan on talking about.
It's okay.
About,
you don't have to. We're a spontaneous show.
There's a podcast she likes to listen to. It's a true crime podcast. We listen to a lot of true crime podcast. We rush into
podcast.
A rut. I've gone very Asian all of a sudden. I rush into a rut of true crime podcast. and one of the ones she likes to listen to is Sword and Scale. I don't know if you've heard of that one?
Never heard of that one. I've been listening to a couple lately, but they're a little bit annoying, but they're
yes.
okay.
Well, that's the problem. Ooh, is
something.
It's...
That's something right there. Hold on. Hold on. It's a note that I'm making for the tail end to your story here.
Okay. I'm actually probably going to plan like a thing where I'll actually have clips and stuff ready of some of the podcasts she listens to, because they're very annoying. Like, since like spending time with you and kind of having like
I think you might be about to say exactly what I think. So go
okay,
ahead.
Well, yeah. So this guy, he's just this guy sounds like a complete and total douchebag on the podcast. Like, he's just got that voice of a guy you just want to punch in the face, and it's hard to describe. I wish I had clips prepared. But what he plays, like, he tells stories about true crime, and then he'll
stop
sometimes
shaking.
Play clips of like, you know, like things from the true, like whether it be like 911 calls or like recordings from murderers and
they're
stuff like that.
Actualities, by the way.
Okay, that's fine.
Radio inside.
But then he also will, like, while he's playing these clips, he'll like cut in with like MST3K style little riffs, but he sounds so douchey when he does it. He sounds like a piece of shit. And it's very frustrating to me because she likes to listen to these things when she goes to sleep. So sometimes she'll have them playing when I'm trying to go to sleep, and I'm just like, like, you know, because I spend so much time working with you and learning the ins and outs of how to do good radio. And then, of course, I myself have like sort of a semi career in voiceover. So it's very frustrating to me to listen to these people sometimes. It just want to like it.
It makes you want to pull your hair out, right?
Like, it does. It's very aggravating.
So there's this one that I've been listening to called shit, which one is it?
Well, anyway, so this guy from Sword and Scale, I saw recently. It's just a real quick thing. I saw on Twitter this week. He is in trouble with, it's actually a very famous podcaster here in Massachusetts, Aaron Mankey, who does the show Lore and then like two other shows that he started this year.
Mm-hmm.
Lore is the first podcast to get its own TV spinoff, you know, kind of thing. So that's kind of neat. But anyway, he had posted that, like, you know, this guy, because apparently on his, this guy does a true crime podcast where he's talking about the horrible things that people do to each other. And you got to really kind of approach that with a bit of, like, you know, a sensitivity. And so this guy from the Sword and Scale, he had posted a thing on, which I thought was actually funny, but if I was doing his show, I wouldn't share it. It was a picture on Instagram of Bert and Ernie on a laptop.
Oh, Jesus.
And then the caption said, and that's when Ernie pointed out that while they were surfing the dark web, Ernie pointed out that if they got a handicapped one, it would be cheaper and it would be harder for them to run away.
Oh my God.
Which is like, it's dark, but it's funny. But I also think it's like,
that's funny. But
at the same time, like, this guy's done episodes of his show talking about like human trafficking on the dark web. So it's like he should have a deeper understanding of what that world is like and understand that it's not something you should talk about flippantly, at least not on your official podcast channel.
Yeah.
You know, like, do that on your personal social media, but don't share it on like the official channel for your thing. So it's very tasteless for the optics of it. And
so I've been listening to this podcast called Dead Man Talking. Mm-hmm. It's about a serial killer called the Railroad. Why can't I say railroad?
Railroad. It's a story about a railroad killer.
They called him the Railroad Killer. He was out of Dallas, but you know, he got the there was a central hub in Dallas that went all over the place with trains, and he would get off a train, kill a random person, and fucking move on his merry way.
That's a good way to do it, actually. Not that I would.
Okay, please. So listen to this.
Back in whenever Resendez started making this confession,
so
I have no idea.
This is good.
I would doubt it is, but
this is really good.
Try and find
good
out.
Quality.
Give
good
me a
audio.
Second. Hold on. I wanted to hear his voice.
I got in touch with the Public Information Office, the same department that had organized my interviews with Diamantina and Andres.
Yeah, no, actually, that is good quality.
That's fine, right?
I would be personally frustrated listening to that type of British accent for too long.
So
but that's a personal thing. That's not a professional thing.
But when he gets to talking about the actual case and when it gets like, you know, when he's talking about like a creepy like level to it,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can.
Just tell me about it.
So, all right, this
paint a word picture.
I can do this. There's a specific sound that during the suspenseful and like the maybe like, you know, tense parts.
Oh,
of
is
the
it
podcast,
like a theremin thing he does?
It's like a theremin
okay.
thing in the way background where it's like, it sounds like a, it sounds like a car alarm or you know what it sounds like? It sounds like a busted air conditioner in the in the fucking corner of a room. And it takes over the entire audio of the podcast. And
yeah.
Like I still try to listen to it. I've stopped listening to it now. Like
I'm not even
gonna hear the end of it. Fucking asshole.
There's like a frequency
thing. It makes me mad because I want to hear the end of it.
It's a frequency thing because you have to understand like what works with your voice doesn't always necessarily work with other people's voices and vice versa.
And it's in every fucking episode.
I always think back to Don LaFontaine, the famous voiceover guy who did movie voiceovers. And he always talked about how his voice was on such a low frequency that he was perfect for doing like movie voiceovers because his voice didn't compete with the sound of the films. So they didn't have to like, you know, work the sound effects and the music in around his voice. They could kind of play them together and they wouldn't overpower each other.
It
they would kind of play separately.
Fucking nuts.
So, I mean, it's like you just need to understand like what works with your voice and the way your voice works. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, but the reason I bring it up because this guy is a complete asshole because he's completely sabotaging himself. Because me being a pretty fussy podcast listener, mm-hmm. listen to more than one podcast of his with that shitty fucking noise in the background.
The theremin
thing. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Well,
a third
I mean,
time.
Why don't you just send him an email and just say, "Hey, I'm a radio professional."
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
And I just wanted to let you know that the sound your voice. does not work well with that theremin sound that you chose.
I
you
very may seriously try. Considered it.
And I mean, you can, but give him a suggestion. Like, do you think it would be better if he had a deeper theremin?
We'll hear it.
It didn't
second.
Make much sense. If that was the case, it was why and
do that. If it's like I told him, why not? He had money. He was millions yep. of money, you know, dollars. Mm. Not, you know, no insurance money.
Yeah, do you know what that is? Because it's not
100,000.
It's not noticeable enough then must to have like sound like it's on purpose. It sounds like a mistake.
They would have accused me for anything. They would have known that I come from money. You know, that it wasn't, you know, just this.
Yeah,
but like
I can just
said,
hear it
the
behind
Lord
your
said,
voice.
No, he said it was irrelevant that I couldn't do that.
He answered some of the questions that
like
I
like now
I
they
had,
play music.
Like,
yeah, no, this
like,
sounds
no,
like
a
song.
When
that,
I went,
yeah,
no,
that's
no,
that basically sounds like a mistake.
Maybe murder
it sounds
later,
like some
so
kind of like ambient noise.
It's not, though.
No, but I'm saying that's what the problem is.
It drives me nuts.
He needs to basically make it so that it sounds like you did it on purpose, whereas there it sounds like it was a mistake. Mistake! No, but it's interesting. And I think I'm going to plan for next year. I'm going to like actually put some time into setting up to actually deep dive into some podcasts and what I think is, because again, like I don't think we're doing, obviously we're not doing a great job with this show because nobody seems to give a shit, but
yeah, we're okay.
You know, I like to think that we do some things right. And I mean, you know, the guys on the more on your show said that at least we sound good. We don't sound like some shitty podcast, so, and
that's really the first hurdle to get over, is you don't want to hear a podcast with shitty audio or shitty, you know, you want it to be put together in a nice way, at least.
Yeah, and even, like, as I brought him up earlier, Aaron Mankey from the Lore Podcast, like, he was, like, him and Mark Maron were the first two shows that really got me into interested in podcasting, and Mark Maron's great, because he just sounds like your standard radio guy, But like Aaron Mankey has a very distinctive voice that you kind of need to test. It needs to grow on you a little bit, you know, before you can really learn to.
Aaron
like,
Mankey
deal with
is
it.
Now one of my coworkers.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because he's he is doing very well.
Bought the How It's Made podcast or whatever.
Yeah, no, he's doing very well for himself. But you know, he has a very distinctive voice, and I don't mind it. But it did take a little bit of time to grow on me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little annoying, but. Those in glass houses.
It's his inflections, you know. It's just he has a weird way of delivering lines, but I think it sounds good, particularly for what he's doing. And that's the other thing. It's like he understood fairly early on, like what he was trying to do. He's a writer, and he basically just wanted to tell stories. So he basically set it up where he's telling you stories, and you just you know you hear it in his delivery, and it. But it's his writing. He's not reading somebody else's stuff. He's reading his stuff. So the fact that he's speaking in his own voice, everything is his voice. I think it really helps. So, but I think there's, you know, I think it's important to understand like what works and what doesn't sound wise, particularly with your own particular sound, like figuring out like what works with your voice. And then also from a marketing standpoint, understand who your audience is and what the fuck your show's about. And don't be a dumb prick on social media, but that goes for everything because everybody's a dumb prick on social media these days. Okay.
So, I don't know. It's not, you know, it's probably not going to happen. So it's really not breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
But, I'm working on a Truman Highway reunion type deal because,
that would be cool.
Brand New Sin is getting back together to play one big show in Syracuse in May. And, I think that if, I tried hard enough, I can probably get the boys back together for one more jingle.
The boys are back in town.
Yeah.
And no, actually, if you can get that happen, we should do like a special episode about it and have the like live broadcast or whatever.
Well, if I can't get that to happen, we'll do a special episode about it and
a retrospective.
Yeah, and I'll just trash everybody. you have to do the.
Well, no, actually, I was going to say you need to do a plug because you officially have another podcast and you should plug it, or you have like two other podcasts.
No, I have one.
Well, you said because you've got. Well, I guess there's one official podcast on the podcast app, so we'll talk about that.
Okay, so the K&M show. Well, actually,
The K&M and H show.
Yeah, the K&M. Wrong button.
Too many letters. The K&M and H show.
K&M and H show. K&M.
K&M H. Just call it K&M H. K&M H. Why can't they use like Heather's last name? What's her last name?
Ford. Which is a great last name.
Yeah. Carlson McKenzie Ford?
Nah.
That sounds like a really cool law firm.
Yeah, it does.
Like it's like they're lawyers, but they ride motorcycles to the courthouse.
So anyway, you can listen to our entire show without the commercials and without the bullshit music.
Which is all about, what, 15 minutes?
It's like an hour and a half, maybe. if you go to WZLX.com, in the podcast section. You can find our entire show. And then we also have a bonus show on Fridays.
Like a proper podcast available on iTunes.
End of the week podcast. Well, not yet. It's on iHeartRadio.
No, though it's on the iTunes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's where we were listening to
We were listening to it on iHeartRadio.
No, I've got it on my phone.
You sure?
I subscribe to it.
Oh, good.
No, because it's not hosted on iTunes. We'll explain this afterwards. I'm going to explain how this works.
He's going to explain the podcast.
Anyway, they have a podcast called Happy Endings.
It's called Happy Endings.
And it comes out every Friday, you said?
Yeah.
So it comes out every Friday, and you can subscribe to it where great podcasts are subscribed to. Same place you could subscribe to this horrific podcast.
Yeah, it's a 10-minute long fucking wrap-up of the week that we do. Sometimes the four of us, sometimes Mike's not involved, sometimes he is. I like it when he's not.
I like it when he's not there.
I got to make fun of him a little bit behind his back, even though he's going to listen to the podcast and post it and probably edit me out. Oh, that's what I think that he's editing my funny jokes out of the podcast.
Yeah, he probably is.
What I'm going to do is next time we do a podcast,
just put your phone down on record.
I'm going to record the entire thing and then compare and contrast and see if he takes my funny jokes out.
See if he takes my funny jokes out.
If he doesn't, then just another paranoid asshole radio. Yeah. But if he does, then I am just another asshole.
The assholes abound. If you want to keep listening to these two assholes, you can go to wcwjmpodcast.com. where you can subscribe and find all the links to go and do all the stuff on social media and blah, 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 and I'm tired of it. Follow Jackson on Twitter at JacksonWZLX. You could follow me on Twitter at MARZ85, but specifically follow me on Instagram at AgentMark85 because I have a lot more fun on there.
I hate it.
Well, that's because you don't make pictures. You make sounds.
I don't get it.
You're a sound guy. What do you mean you don't get it?
I just don't get it.
You look at my Instagram and then you'll get it.
To be continued.
To be continued. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.